Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning, first Sunday after Christmas, New Year's Day Sunday, is from this morning's epistle lesson that was read earlier, where St. Paul writes in Philippians 3, "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Back when I was a youngster, eager to ride my bike out on our country road, my mom would always say first, "Now remember, you look both ways." Because I read a lot of Greek and Roman theology even back then as a kid, I'd occasionally wonder if Terra, the mother of Janus, the Roman god with the face on each side of his head, ever even bothered to warn him to look both ways. He always was and did. Our first month of January, of course, is named after this two-faced god, with the ability to look behind him at the past year while simultaneously gazing ahead into the brand new year. Well, in our text for this morning, the Apostle Paul is basically encouraging us believers to do something quite the same by forgetting what lies behind us while at the same time straining forward to see what lies ahead of us in the new year, the year that you and I are entering this morning. However, doing that involves exercising two mnemonic activities that appear to be diametrically opposed to each other. In reality, they simply are, though, different faces, you might say, on opposite sides of the same coin. We call them forgetting and remembering. And St. Paul seems to think there's an important place for each of them in his life, as well as in the life of us believers as well. And so, in other words, there are things that we need to forget as we enter this brand new year, but there are also things that we need to remember as we enter this brand new year. Unfortunately, many of us have certain difficulty in implementing each of those things in our lives in the way they should be implemented. Now, speaking of forgetting and remembering, I came across a substitute for New Year's Day celebrations recently. It seems that since 2006, a very large group of people now celebrate an important event on New Year's. It started actually in Times Square. They now refer to it as Good Riddance Day. Participants write down unpleasant, painful, embarrassing memories from the past year, and then they throw them into an industrial-sized shredder. You can also have the option of taking a sledgehammer and smashing Good Riddance items, like a cell phone, for example. It's patterned after a Latin American tradition in which New Year revelers stuff dolls with objects representing bad memories before then setting them on fire. One of the Good Riddance Day organizers said, and I quote him, "It really is this need we have, and even when the world is crazy, to say, you know what, I'm going to let go of the things that have been dragging me down and going to look forward instead with a sense of hope and the possibility of change, either for myself personally or for this crazy world. So 2023 is my chance to detox in a big way." But running the race St. Paul outlined for us cannot be just wished away by some immolation or smashing spree. It takes a very concerted kind of forgetting and remembering that only the Holy Spirit can provide in order to maintain the pace and reach the goal of that upward calling that St. Paul speaks about in Philippians chapter 3. So, I would ask, have you found the secret of knowing when and how to forget and when and how to properly remember? Sometimes there are roadblocks to that. For example, back in the days when the TV series House was on, I never missed it, I recall an episode appropriately entitled, You Must Remember This, in which the arrogant but brilliant doctor had to deal with a patient diagnosed with hyperthymesia, also known as HSAM, or Highly Superior Autobiographical Memory. It's a mouthful. Anyway, this middle-aged character, this woman with hyperthymesia, literally remembered everything that she said or did since the onset of puberty. These kind of people literally cannot forget, and they expend an excessive amount of time thinking about their pasts and displaying an extraordinary ability to recall specific activities and events, including every little mundane activity, like what she had to eat every day for every meal for the past decades. This extraordinary ability is a real advantage, but at times, many other times, in fact, it is a curse. You see, unfortunately, she also remembered all the wrongs that people had done to her, as well as all the wrongs that she committed against others. And those memories haunted and harassed her every moment of the day and night, leading to the recognition from Dr. House that, quote, each of us also needs to forget as much as we need to remember. Then again, excessive forgetfulness is not really a blessing either. Hebrews 2, verse 10, so we must listen very carefully to the truth that we have heard, or we may drift away from it. If we have no memory, we are adrift, because memory anchors us to the past, it interprets the present, and it charts a course for the future. Consider the case of Jimmy G., who had the rare neurological disorder called Korsakoff syndrome. This disorder affects the memory. Jimmy walked into Dr. Oliver Sacks' office in 1975 with a cheery, "Hiya, Doc. Nice morning. Do I take this chair here?" Dr. Sacks checked his memory. He remembered lots of things. He remembered his childhood home, his friends, his school, and the Navy, which he had joined in 1943. He was stationed on a sub, and he could remember Morse code. He recalled vividly his service in the Navy all the way through the end of the war in 1945. But that's where his memories stopped. Completely stopped. Jimmy couldn't remember anything from 1945 to the then present, 1975. That's 30 years. He thought, still at this point, Truman was the president. Periodic table ended at uranium, and no one had been to the moon. Most of all, he had no recollection of anything that happened more than a few minutes in the past. He still thought that he was 19 years old, not his actual age of 49. Dr. Sacks, therefore, showed him a mirror. Jimmy glanced at the middle-aged man with the bushy gray hair. He was shocked. Sacks calmed him by taking him over to a window to watch a ball game going on in the park below and left him alone for just 2 minutes. And then he returned. Jimmy was still at the window gazing at the kids in the park. He wheeled around and suddenly said, "Hiya, Doc. Nice morning. You want to talk to me? Do I take this chair here?" "Haven't we met before, Mr. G?" No, I can't say we have." Over the next 9 years as a patient, Jimmy and Dr. Sacks were introduced and reintroduced and reintroduced. He stayed in the convalescent home where Sacks worked, but never learned his way around the halls. He was good at rapid games like checkers and tic-tac-toe, but got lost at chess because the moves were just too slow. Sacks said, and I quote, "I had never encountered, even imagined, such a power of amnesia." And the staff at the home spoke of Jimmy as a lost soul. Without memory, we are lost souls. You see, in the Bible, memory is much more than cognitive recall, like remembering the dates for a history test or remembering where you put your car keys. In the Bible, memory includes the mind, but it also includes emotion and the will. Remembering is a key biblical word. Oddly enough, Forgetting is not. The words remind and memory and remember are used 3 to 4 times more than the word forgetting. While the Bible depicts forgetting mostly in dire terms related to apostasy, it also presents some instances when it's a blessing. In other words, there are some things that we should forget. So why would St. Paul, who constantly reminds people of the great acts of God in human history, ask his people there in Philippi to forget something? Well, when Paul speaks of forgetting what lies behind, he can't mean that you should forget everything in your past. Then what is it that you should and I should forget, and why? Well, let me put it to you in very personal terms. As you look back over this past year of 2022, what is it that you think that you need to forget so that you can begin then to remember and appreciate once more deeply the blessings that God wants to give to you? Let me make 2 suggestions. First of all, I suggest that you forget all the bad done to you. Yes, I know that's going to take a lobotomy probably to accomplish that. But remember, when Scripture says forget, it also assumes forgive. In fact, just as Christ has forgiven us. So do you think when God says in Hebrews 8, verse 12, "For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more," that the Almighty God suffers from actual amnesia? Not hardly. No, I'd say it's intended to be more like the words of the late, great lady of faith and former concentration camp survivor, Corrie Ten Boom, who once responded with these words when asked about an incredibly heinous incident that she had to endure. She said, "I distinctly remember forgetting about that." That act of her will set her spirit free to live for Christ and become like Christ. St. Paul certainly had many people who hated him and caused trouble for his ministry, even so-called believers who betrayed him and hurt him most. He would go into cities and towns and he was left for dead at least once. He was flogged, stoned, ridiculed, imprisoned, etc. When he went away, sometimes a congregation that was born seemed to kind of kneel at the very first false teacher that came along behind him. He had every reason to look back on his past and feel that he'd somehow suffered at the hands of other people. The great thing about this man, though, is that he wasn't trapped by those kind of memories. How did he break free? There are some of you who may have had that question this morning in your personal life. "I've come from this background, from this marriage, or from this childhood, and I want to get free. How do I get free? I want to forget, but I just can't. What's the key to forgetting the things that have been done to me? How did Paul break free?" This same man who wrote the words, "forgetting the past," also wrote to another congregation, "Love keeps no records of wrong." That's the key. As you look back on your past, the Holy Spirit has empowered you to turn horrible situations for good because your Lord commands you to. You can say, "Whatever they did to me, I'm going to love them. I'm not going to keep a record of that wrong. I'm not going to keep going over it and over it. I'm not going to plan revenge." But then secondly, we also need to be free from all the bad that we personally have done. Some of us are saying something like this: "Well, it isn't what was done to me that really bothers me. There are things that I want to forget with respect to what I have done to others." We do need to get free from the memory of all the bad that we've done. You know, we have this enemy. He's called the devil, who constantly accuses us of these things. That's his job, and he does it very successfully. He gets us into trouble, and then he accuses us for being in trouble. Worst of all, he gets us to question the legitimacy of God's grace and forgiveness in the life of us forgiven sinners. But when Christ died for our sins, remember that he died for you. So claim that forgiveness, the total forgiveness for whatever you have done. And then begin to remember and recite God's promises throughout this glad new year. Promises like Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Remember Isaiah 49, 15 to 16. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. See, I have written your name on the palm of my hands. As years go by, our bodies do start to decay, but we remember that God has remembered us in Christ Jesus. And because of that, because Christ was raised, we also shall be raised from the dead as forgiven and redeemed members of his forever family. And you must remember this, because our memories are made of this as believers in Christ. My fellow redeemed and forgiven people of God, the past is the past, and the future of every new year that we have left on this earth is still to be written for us. So forget what needs to be forgotten, and remember what needs to be remembered as you face your remaining future on this earth. Because we have no way of knowing our future, but we do know who holds it in his divine hands. To be honest, the fix is in, as far as this race that Paul was talking about. All those who trust in Christ alone for their salvation win the race in the end, no matter in what year their place in the race happens to finish. Meanwhile, it's crucial for us to live out each new year, in fact, each new day, realizing an indescribable and eternal future awaits each of us. Like St. Paul, we must forget what lies behind us on the basis of also remembering what God still has in store for each and every one of us, remembering that God is with us. What Paul spoke of in his running the race analogy in several places, in fact, of Scripture. And what is the ultimate prize for each of those who finish the race? As Paul himself approaches this prize giving ceremony himself, he writes in 2 Timothy 4, "The time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me," here it comes, "the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." So, to make this a truly glad new year, don't forget to remember, to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to run the race well, praying every step of the way, "Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, and remember me when you come into your kingdom." In his name, amen, and happy new year.